Welcome to season 2 of the Our Kids For Me podcast. I will continue to speak to people in a range of different circumstances about their personal and professional experience of answering this question. Thank you so much for your positive feedback on season 1, and I really hope you find these episodes useful. My guest today is Liam McCarthy. Liam is based in Youghal, County Cork, and is a civil celebrant for weddings, baby naming ceremonies and funerals. He has a love of ritual and ceremony and respects all traditions and beliefs, including non-belief. Liam is also a death doula. Today, we discuss what a death doula is, how our relationship with death has changed, and why we need to be able to talk about death and grief more openly for both practical and emotional reasons. We also discuss funeral options, budgeting, and the benefits of planning ahead for our own deaths and funerals. This was a really informative and also enjoyable conversation with quite a few laughs along the way, despite the topic. So, Liam, delighted to talk to you today. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Hi, Margaret.
Okay. So we're here kind of rounding off our topic of who's going to look after us when we get old. And we're kind of arriving at the end of that topic, which is looking at the end of life and death issues. So you have a few different titles, but end of life doula or death doula is one of them. So would you be able to tell us what that is in case people don't know?
Okay, so death doula, traditionally every parish, every community had the person that was sent for when somebody was dying. Mm-hmm. They might have been the keen or the person that would lay out the dead, person who understood what was happening, the process that was happening. Mm-hmm. My title would be death doula, but a lot of the community now would refer to us as EOL doulas, which is end of life doula, using that big bad word.
Yes.
which is death. Yes. You know, but and like we shouldn't be afraid of death. Mm-hmm. Because as I said, death is all around us. It's even in our own lives, we think our life is permanent. Mm-hmm. But like our grandparents pass on, our parents pass on, our aunts, uncles, friends and friends' parents and that. And like if we think about it, it is always along our life, you know. And then of course, you know, new people come into our lives. Mm-hmm. Along the way, and then they leave our lives because they might go get a job, maybe in or whatever. So they're gone out of our lives, and that in its own way is a death too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a change. Mm-hmm. You know, and in all of that, there's grief, you know, and that's where we're really at, you know.
So I think we're different in Ireland because a few people have mentioned this, that, you know, we're quite almost secretive about death, or that there's some kind of taboo about talking about it. Is that particular to us, or is that everybody, do you think?
It wouldn't be particular to us. It would be a more modern thing.
Okay.
Because as I say, like, you know, death always happened at home until, you know, maybe 70, 80 years ago. Okay. When it started happening in hospitals and that. When somebody did die, they were brought home, and they were, if they weren't at home when they died, they were brought home and they were waked at home, possibly on the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. All the neighbors came in around, they all rallied around the family. Mm-hmm. For those days, the family wouldn't have to cook or anything. All of that was done. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that you had to send out for it. Mm-hmm. You know, the word went out that Mary had died. and all the neighbors came in, and they all had their own, you know, one person was good at baking, another person was good at organizing parking, another person was good at something else, and they just went and they did what needed to be done. You know, and but now the funeral director will go and collect the remains at the hospital and take them to the funeral home. So that has all been moved from our home. You know, and maybe we're a little bit the poorer for that.
You know? So we kind of have less, almost less interaction with death.
Less interaction with death. And then that maybe puts a bit of fear in us. You know, it puts fear in us. Firstly, you know, facing our own death, from the point of view that we're no longer going to be there, but also from the point of view of, well, you know, what's going to happen? Who's going to do this and who's going to do that and who's going to do the other? You know, that's all an issue as well, you know. I would be a great proponent, and this is a lot of what end-of-life doulas would do, sitting down and talking about death. You've heard of the concept of death cafe.
Yes.
So, like, there's nothing to be afraid of. It sit down, cup of tea, bit of cake, and talk about death. And it's a lovely idea. But also in just the practical things of actually planning. You know, do I want a church funeral? Do I want a civil funeral? Do I want this reading? Do I want that music? Do I want to be kept at home? Do I want to be cremated?
So, you know, personal choices, obviously. There's a lot, like, I'm even thinking, geez, I don't know the answer, like, to half those questions. So then how would somebody else know for me? You know,
that's the thing, you know, and like, the it's nice to control, to think that you can have some little bit of control.
Absolutely.
On these, you know, these things. And okay, you mightn't have the final say. But as far as you're concerned, you have had the final say. You have you've planned it out. You have it. You have it done. And most families, you know, children, nephews, nieces, friends, or whatever, will follow those wishes if they're actually there.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it takes away the whole issue of, well, actually, she'd rather that, or he'd rather this, you know. So it gets rid of all of that, you know.
At a time that is usually challenging enough anyway, never mind
talking about that. Yeah, indeed.
So indeed. When would you normally get involved, or when would somebody call you in?
I could be called in at any point along a person's life. I could be called in because somebody might be experiencing grief of a parent or a significant other. And I would be helping to get around that. A lot of people would go through that, possibly through that, and say, I don't want this to happen when my time comes. And then they will come along and they will look up somebody like me, and sit down with me. Sometimes it's when they've been to the doctor and the doctor has sat them down and had the chat. You know, and like, I know doctors are great and all of that. sometimes the bedside manner mightn't be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And news can be landed.
Yeah.
Without the entire implications being.
Yeah.
You know.
And pressure as well. You know, people don't always have the time to go through everything or follow up maybe the way they might like. Yeah.
And you know, so like I can be brought in at that stage. Or somebody who has a significant person in their life who has had that experience. Mm-hmm. Could call me in to help them in order to help their significant person in their life, you know. So it's huge, the area where I can be involved, you know.
And the focus there is those discussions and plans and options for
And like a lot of time as well, people will want to maybe talk about their life and their history. You know, and that's all part of it as well, you know, trying to make sense of where they've come from to this point. It's basically about sitting and giving time for the person to talk.
Okay.
And you know, put this out there.
It sounds lovely. Like, I have to say, I didn't know it was a thing up until very recently. That's on me. But it sounds lovely. It sounds a really lovely thing.
Yeah.
To be able to give somebody that care and attention and time to do that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is. Like, we would be complementary to the hospice movement.
Okay.
Insofar as the hospice movement are dealing with the actual physical bits and pieces, and you know, while dressing wounds maybe needing to be dressed and all of that, pain relief be given and all of that, and that's their field and they're great at it.
Okay. Yeah.
And an end of life doula will never impose on that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the whole, you know, how am I facing myself up for this for this journey, really, I suppose. You know. You know, like, I suppose growing up we were always kind of certain that maybe there was an afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was, but you know, look, today that's not as certain as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yet most people have a feeling that there is something more than just us.
Okay.
Lots of people will call that Mother Nature.
Okay.
You know, other people will call it God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not for me to say it's God or it's Mother Nature or it's stardust.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
It's all of them and it's none of them.
Okay.
You know, and it's just about bringing peace.
Okay.
You know, and acceptance.
Okay.
You know. And yeah, like we've all had experiences. You know, we might feel that it's something out there, or it could be something in our heads that we put a construct on.
Yeah.
You know, but look, either way, if it gives comfort. You know, that's the important thing.
Okay.
You know, and it's very, very important to be aware of that, with a capital T, which gives meaning to life.
Okay.
whatever that is.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. You know, okay. Let's say it could be Mother Nature, it could be God, it could be Allah, it could be Buddha, it could be any of those, Mother Wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it makes and
sense. As long as you can experience that as love, mm-hmm. that's the important thing.
Okay.
You know.
Mm. So those things are kind of put into focus, I guess. If we feel we need to make these kinds of not quite decisions, but you know, get some clarity on those things for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would it be part of your job to be there kind of when the person actually dies?
Yeah, I am a funeral celebrant. Okay. A number of years ago I went and did a bit of training in that side of things because I felt that where people as I said a while ago about, you know, some people, you know, God is very important in their life and that's fine. Other people, God isn't so important. And it might be Mother Nature is important to them. Or maybe they feel that there's nothing beyond the big switch it off and that's it. You know, but whichever way, to me, it is important to celebrate the life lived rather than what I would have maybe interpreted that the life should have been lived.
Yes. Okay.
You know, so that, you know, like if I'm performing a funeral ceremony and somebody wants to bring as a memento of the person's life maybe a can of beer and or cigarettes, mm-hmm. if that's what reminds that person of mm-hmm. their loved one,
okay.
It's not for me to say you can't do that.
Okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I did a funeral recently and the family, actually the person gone had said that they wanted the laughing policeman played.
Okay.
And he had, his wish was for cremation, mm-hmm. and he wanted smoke gets in your eyes when the when the curtains were closing.
Wow.
And the other thing that he had stipulated was that he wanted to always look on the bright side of life,
mm, okay.
as the final piece of music on the day.
Yes.
And he didn't want the cleaned up version, he wanted the original Monty Python version.
Yeah.
Do you know?
That's quite a popular funeral song. I've heard that somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the thing about it is, like, who am I to criticize his choice of music?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Important to him.
That was him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be for saying, oh, you must have religious music or, and you know, mm-hmm. And again, on that again, if that's what they want, yeah. I've no problem with religious music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know?
So but the focus has to be on the life lived, and it has to be on the family left behind.
Yeah.
And if the person that's gone, if this is the message that they want to leave,
mm-hmm.
to their loved ones, you know, that's the important message to get across.
Okay.
You know.
And what are the options now? Because again, I don't really know about this. For funerals, I suppose traditionally.
Traditionally it would be church or meeting house or, you know, synagogue or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. Church or chapel. So that those options are there.
Yeah.
From a civil point of view, a funeral can be held in a funeral home, in a person's own home.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the time, families will feel that the family home is too small to accommodate a crowd, and therefore, you know, maybe the likes of a funeral home or that would be acceptable. A lot of the crematoria have what they call special space or sacred space, which can also host a funeral. I've heard of funerals happening in Connolly Hall in Dublin. And I know there was one held in the Cockmart building in Fermoy.
Oh, wow.
So now it is possible to have a funeral in a hotel or a community hall or a community center or that, but lots of hotels and that mightn't be quite so. They would need to be spoken with,
yeah.
and a lot of them would think the idea of bringing a coffin into a function room in a hotel mightn't be the right thing to do.
So it is possible to have a funeral that does not involve a church element at all, if you don't want.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The local GA hall, the local rugby club, if they're prepared to.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
And then you can still be buried in a graveyard.
Yes, you can. You can. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Think this through.
Yeah. And you can actually be buried in your own in your own property as well. But I would suggest, if that's what you want to do, to get on, plan it well in advance.
Okay.
And clear it with the council.
Right. Okay.
But because they would be looking at it from the point of view of, is the grave going to be near a water source or something like that? Do you know? But generally, yeah, you can be buried in your own property.
Okay, interesting.
Big problem with that is if your successors want to sell on.
Yeah.
What do they do with Uncle whoever out the back? But, you know.
Okay. Again, I didn't know.
Yeah. But it is possible, mm-hmm. You know.
And I think Karen was mentioning that there are rules around scattering ashes that maybe people aren't familiar with. Are there conditions?
Generally in a public space there isn't.
All right, okay.
Now if you want your ashes scattered in the local in the goalpost of the local GA club, mm-hmm. obviously that's private property, so you need to get permission from the GA club or the rugby club or whatever, you know. If scattering ashes on a beach or scattering ashes, you know, that's not a problem, generally.
Okay.
What is a problem is if you decide to bury ashes at home,
right?
Yeah. And then you're selling up and moving on, okay. And you want to take the ashes with you, mm-hmm. You actually have to get an exhumation order.
Oh, right.
To exhume the ashes once they're buried.
Okay.
Now you can put them in a shrine in the garden.
Right.
Once they're above ground.
Okay.
And you can take down the shrine and move it. But if you bury the ashes, they're regarded as the same as any remains that are buried.
Okay.
You'd have to go on, mm-hmm. you know, but
right. Okay, good to know. There's a, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if you use that term, but I've seen, is it this idea of kind of eco-burials or...
Yeah, green burials and yeah. eco-burials and that, yeah. That's where the remains aren't embalmed.
Oh, right, okay.
And usually unpolished timber is used in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically you're not introducing chemicals or poisons into the ground.
Right.
There is a green burial site in down in Wexford, I think it is.
Okay.
That's the only, as far as I'm aware, that's the only totally woodland natural burial ground. A lot of council graveyards now are coming to the thing of having a part of the cemetery set aside as a green or eco burial site. Some people will go for shrouded burials and not use a coffin at all in those circumstances. You know,
I've seen, is it wicker?
Wicker, yeah. That is an option that's used, and that can be used in any cemetery.
Okay.
Right. You know, the wicker. It's just another another form of wrapping, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. And I suppose, you know, bringing two taboos together, the cost of funerals, again, it's not something that's maybe talked about here. I'm struck, because I've been at home a bit more lately, watching TV during the day on some of the British channels, they've loads of ads for like planning for like saving for death and insurance and crematorium plans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We don't have that here that I'm aware of.
We do actually.
Do we? Okay.
There's most undertakers will do a prepaid option.
Oh, okay.
The other option then is to go to your local undertaker and discuss with them, and they will say to you it's going to cost X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 5,000, 7,000, whatever. Just take a figure out of. So what a lot of people will do is they'll go to their local credit union, and now they may put in, you know, $100 a month until they get to that level.
Okay.
And that's there.
Okay.
They know that that's there for the undertaker. It can be expensive. Undertakers would be generally encouraged now that before the funeral happens, that the family are aware of the cost. Because it wouldn't be fair on the family to go for the dearest option.
Yes, if they don't know.
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
You know, so the funeral directors, they work by a code. Mm-hmm. Basically, look, you know, this is going to cost you whatever, you know. At least the family know. But again, getting back to the whole thing about planning, wouldn't it be a lot better if the family weren't put in that situation?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you go and you talk to your undertaker, or you talk to the likes of me, or you know, somebody that will do that intermediary work for you, or do it yourself, you know. Yeah. There's like any undertaker you can walk into them, well, maybe not at the moment because of COVID, but under normal circumstances you can walk in any day and you can talk to the to them and you can say, look, what is this going to cost my family when my time comes? And you can make arrangements for it. As I say, some undertakers, they will have a prepaid plan where you can actually pay them the amount. They will put in an extra bit to allow for inflation. And I think generally, like we'll say, the way they work is that that price might hold for 10 years. And in 10 years time, you just go back, you look at it, what it's costing, and you might add a little bit more to take it for the next 10 years. Or you go to your credit union. And you say, look, I need to have 7,500 there for in the event of, and you put in so much a week or so much, or maybe you have it and you put it in and you put and you mark that in a special account, you know, for that. And then you know the family aren't going to be landed with this huge, you know. You know, and like I suppose you always have the thing, like you go into any undertaker, they will be able to show you a coffin that will cost maybe 1,000, and they can show you a coffin that will cost 20,000. And if you're planning for yourself, you'll be quite happy to go into one for the 1,000 because you know where it's going. Whereas if you were planning for a dearly beloved, or if you were in the situation of being bereaved and you're going in and you're, you know, picking, you know, Auntie Mary or Mammy or whatever, and you go for the one that's costing 17,000, 18,000, 20,000 and you know, I know a lot of people, if they'd realized the price of the coffin they were put into, they'd be spinning inside in the train. You know, but look, that's what it's all about. It's all about pre-thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not being afraid to talk about death.
Absolutely.
You know, we meet death an awful lot more than we realize along our journey in life. And maybe if we weren't afraid to realize that we're meeting death along the way, we mightn't be afraid of him or her, as the case may be. You know, so
That's really, really interesting. I know I say this a lot, but it's like every little thing is its own world. So like this is its own world of information and terms and options. So I suppose it's always better to be informed and know what your options are, I think.
It is. It is, definitely, definitely. And like it is a pity that the village, in inverted commas, that the village mentality that was there isn't there now. You know, where all the neighbours came in, and you know, that was so it took so much off the family. You know. You know, when like you would have had a carpenter would have made the coffin, three or four strong lads would go and dig the grave. You know, the people that were good at baking baked the goods, and you know, and that was all done without the family needing to ask.
I think it does still happen in some areas, but not as much, or maybe not as automatically as
Yeah, not as automatically, I suppose.
Okay. And really, again, and you know, this is a theme that has come up a lot, like these issues are relevant to everyone. So whether you have children of your own or not.
Oh, totally.
still have to, these decisions still have to be made, and it's
complicated
just differently whether you have children or not, really.
Yeah. And like a lot of people, you know, they won't necessarily want to discuss issues around death with those that they're closest to.
Yeah, okay.
Because they will feel that they don't want to upset them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, whether that's your children, whether it's your nephews, nieces, your significant partner, you know, a lot of people won't want to burden them with maybe fears that they have themselves, you know, or issues maybe around, you know, what's happening, what's going to happen at the end.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to be, afraid? Am I, you know, is it going to be painful? Is it not going, you know, and all of these things. And they won't want to talk to the, to their nearest and dearest, you know. You know, as I said, their significant other or their children or their nephews, nieces, whatever, you know. So somebody that they can, somebody that's a little step sideways of that, they'll talk to.
Okay. You know?
I remember a while back I was talking with a woman who knew she was dying.
Okay.
Her family, this was back before doctors were inclined to tell all to the patient.
Okay.
So the family had told her that she had a hernia.
Mm-hmm.
And like she said to me, you know, look, I know I'm dying. I know what I have. I have cancer and that's it. And, you know, and we had a great old chat about it.
Okay.
And like I spoke with the family maybe about a month after her funeral. And the family said to me, well, at least she never realized, you know, what was happening, you know, and like she did, you know, and it was kind of in maybe October, November. And she had said to me that she would live to see Christmas, but she wouldn't live much beyond that, and she died in early January.
Oh wow! Okay.
You know, and you know, and the family never realized.
Yeah.
That she actually had figured the whole thing out. You know, and that incident actually happened before I was a death doula.
Okay.
You know, so you know.
I get that it's like well intended, but it's not dealing with the reality. Sure, it's not like pretending she doesn't know, or her telling them, her not telling them that she knows.
But look, you know, it was her way of dealing with it. And a lot of people, even today, they will know it themselves. The doctor will tell them, you know, you have 6 months to live, and they don't want to, unburden all of that on their significant, you know, and maybe it's something that needs to be negotiated between the person that's dying and their family, or their loved ones, or their significant others, or whatever. You know, that whole process of letting them know.
And dealing with it,
And dealing with it, and facing it, you know. And this is where the death doula or end of life.
Okay.
Doula comes in, you know. Basically, we hold space to allow the person express what they want to express and how they want to express it.
Fantastic. Okay.
You know. So.
Okay. So I guess again, just showing there's a range of options, a range of supports available. So whether it's somebody does, maybe linking in with if it is kind of a, you know, funeral director or whatever it is, but there's information available. It's not
there is
people have to do by themselves. You know, the planning and the information, all of that is there, and support is there.
Yeah, and support is there to help people through that planning.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I we all have, you know, we think about what's going to happen to the €5 in my pocket when I'm gone.
Yeah.
And we don't think about what's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. In the run up to it, or what will happen to me when I'm gone.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, but we've no problem going to the solicitor about the €5 in my pocket. You know,
yeah.
And that's where we are. That's the field that we're in, and holding space for the person there, you know.
And just to clarify, so somebody could go to you and do the planning. They don't have to have had a diagnosis. They don't have to have anything. No, but just put the plan in place and have the discussion, they could do that.
Yeah, and have the discussion. And if they want me to help have the discussion with the family,
oh, wow, okay.
I'm available for that bridge as well.
Wow, okay.
You know, so... I'm not just saying me, all doulas, that's what we do, you know. We're there in that space.
Okay.
You know, and to help with the grieving process afterwards.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And maybe the grieving process beforehand, because obviously if I was to be given a diagnosis in the morning, I would be grieving for my the plans I had for the next
yeah.
5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be grieving those, because I wasn't going to be around to have those. So that grief has to be held as well.
Yeah, and I think I do still think we're pretty good at the funeral part, but I see it, I suppose, in my work, in my general counselling work. It's after that. It's after the funeral, after the 3 days or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're expected, or people feel that, oh yeah, you should kind of get over it now. Like, don't be crying, you know.
Yeah.
Later or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a completely unnatural thing to expect.
It's completely unnatural. There's the 7 steps of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it's here, and you know you're following a straight line.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. It's more like a ball of wool.
Yeah.
You know, it falls back on itself, mm-hmm. and all of that. You know, and like I really, grief is. You never fully get over grief.
No.
But you learn to live the new reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That has been created by that passing.
Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. You know, like you'll always have trigger moments that mm-hmm. will trigger a grief, will trigger the grief that you have had for your mother or your father, and there might be different mm-hmm. trigger points. And you'll grieve a friend, you know, on a different trigger point as well. It's just that they will get the hope is that they get a little bit further apart.
Yeah.
You know, and that's but you know, you will, for the rest of your life, yeah. there will be trigger points that will trigger that grief.
And I think just normalizing that, because it's a bit like what you said with the sanitizing it, you know, you're expected to kind of be over it in a week and not be upsetting other people or being a bit hysterical, yeah. if you're being emotional about it, which is really, really helpful. So support with that.
Really, yeah, that's another field then that I do. I'm now, at the moment, we can't do it because of COVID thing, but I hold schools. Where people, much like the death cafe idea, okay. where you come in and you can sit down amongst friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if there's something major, it mm-hmm. needs to be referred to the likes of yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
but just for peer-to-peer support.
Yeah, really.
You know, a cup of tea and a bit of cake
mm-hmm.
and a chat, you know. And obviously, if there's, you know, a major issue, it needs to be referred. But
yeah, but space, I think you, as you're really saying, you know, space to allow these things and
yeah.
Them yeah. work through, it has to be worked through.
Yeah, and like, you know, it is totally natural
yeah.
to be upset
mm-hmm.
and you allow that space, you know, and like, it can't be over after a month's mourning.
God, no, absolutely, yeah. Well, look, really, it sounds like an amazing service that you offer and a really, really important
thank you.
So thank you so much for going. I'm after learning another load of information. So thank you for that.
What has struck me a couple of times, like we're talking about death
yeah.
and grieving and all of that. If you listen back to us, we've laughed quite a lot.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, so in the midst of grief and being somber, there yeah. is laughter.
Yeah, and you know, again, this was my poor partner is used to me saying very strange things, but I've been very excited to talk to you. So like all week, I was like, oh, I'm talking to the death doula on Friday. He's like, oh Jesus, you are. Just yeah. me. The time. But yes, absolutely, really, it's really, really interesting. So it's yeah. lovely to be able to do that and bring that quality. So thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. Is there anything you think we've missed or anything you'd add in?
No, I think we've done quite a good job.
Perfect.
I think we have a most enjoyable lovely. Chat. You know.
Thanks a million.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much to my guests for taking part and to you for listening. I would love to hear your feedback and any suggestions for other topics you would like to see covered in this series. I would also love to build a community of like-minded people, so please follow the Our Kids For Me pages on Facebook and Instagram if you want to find out more on this topic. I look forward to hearing from you and watch out for the next episode soon.